For more than 80 years, the Pontifical Institute for Christian Archaeology has been at the forefront of research on the earliest artifacts of the Christian world that spans over 2,000 years of church history. Located in downtown Rome near the Basilica of St. Mary Major, the Institute offers a PhD program for some 50 to 60 students. Charles Collins went to their offices and spoke to the secretary of the Institute, Dr. Olaf Brandt. He explains why, in 1925, the Holy See and the Pope first decided to establish a pontifical institute specifically for the study of Christian archaeology.
I think they felt a strong need for an institute of this kind, and it was the first archaeological institute of the Holy See after the Risorgimento, after the creation of the new Italian state, and the Italian state was creating its own archaeological institutions, and the Vatican, the Holy See, wanted also to have an archaeological institution. At the same time, this was a period when all the Catholic world looked for inspiration for renewal in early Christianity, in the writings of the Church Fathers, in the early liturgy, in early Christian culture and art. And that was why they felt a strong need for our institute. And that was why a first project was presented to Pope Benedict XV in 1918, who approved the project, but he couldn't realize it because they had problems with the war and whatever. It was eventually realized by Pope Pius XI in 1925, who himself was a scholar in this field. He had written an article about the Roman Church of San Sebastiano. He was a member of the Pontifical Academy of Archaeology, and he was the prefect of the Vatican Library. So he knew all these scholars, and he appointed them himself. He handpicked the professors of this first institute. He founded it himself. He himself drew up the plan for the building, and he followed the life of this institute very, very, very closely. On his deathbed, he said, if anything is mine, it's the Pontifical Institute for Christian Archaeology. And one of the men behind the creation of this institute was the priest who was responsible for the celebrations of the Holy Father, Monsignor Carlo Respighi, who had that position for many, many years, and who was also a member of the Pontifical Commission for Sacred Archaeology. So a lot of people around the Holy Father were interested in archaeology. The Holy Father himself was interested, and not only him, but the popes in those days were all interested in early Christian archaeology. It was a strongly felt need for this kind of knowledge, and the Catholic Church felt that the Church needed to have good scholars. They wanted excellency, they wanted a high level of scholarship in this field, because they wanted the truth on early Christianity, which is something which also, the general public today also wants to know the truth about early Christianity. I mean, we know what happens in novels and movies and whatever. I mean, that's something which modern man wants to know, the truth about early Christianity. And that was why this institute was so important in those days. And actually, our professors here, they teach everything from epigraphy, architecture, archaeology, catacombs, art, and whatever. But we also have professors teaching the history of ancient Christian liturgy. And in those days, it was the only place in Rome where you can study that. So many of the key persons in the earliest work on the reform of Catholic liturgy, they all studied here. This was where they learned everything on early Roman Christian liturgy.
Now, when you go through Rome, you go through the city, you see these famous places like San Clemente, you see the catacombs themselves, you also some of the lesser known places you might go to, for example, in Trastevere, San Crisogono, mm-hmm. there's a paleo church underneath that. But you read the history of these places, most of this stuff was discovered not long before this institute was established. Most of these excavations were happening in the 19th century. This was although ancient Rome, it wasn't discovered until recently. Was this one of the reasons that this interest in Christian archaeology developed.
Exactly. I mean, this institute was needed because they had already begun to make a lot of important discoveries, and there were excellent scholars and archaeologists working in the field. They felt the need for a center for scholarship where they could form and educate a new generation of modern archaeologists using modern methods. So many important discoveries and excavations were made just before this institute was created. Many important excavations were made and published by our first students. If you study the history of research in the different churches in Rome, you very often find that the first important step in this history is something written by one of our first students.
We talked about how this is, in some way, reading the Church Fathers in stone. What relation does Christian archaeology have with patristics, for example? I mean, what knowledge do you need to have of the Church Fathers to understand Christian archaeology? And what knowledge would you hope that people who study patristics have of archaeology themselves?
Well, we have also a professor of patristics here, so our students study some of that stuff. Of course, you should know something about both fields because they are completely different. Because when you study the writings of the Church Fathers, you study the deep, profound ideas of individual thinkers. What we study is the life of the Christian people, the structures, the physical structures, which tell us something about how the people lived and celebrated. What we study is especially important to understand the celebrations, the liturgy of the earliest Christian church, because the oldest complete liturgical texts are early medieval, but the remains of architecture, of church architecture, are older than that. So architecture is actually an older source to liturgy than the liturgical texts themselves.
Now, touching on this liturgy, you mentioned earlier that several of the people who were involved in the liturgical movement of the early 20th century were associated with this institute. Of course, liturgy is on everyone's mind now. The Holy Father has come up with a new motu proprio allowing the freer use of the 1962 Missal. One of the things he said was one of the reasons he wanted to do this was because he wanted to emphasize the continuity of the liturgy, the continuity of the 62 Missal, for example, to the 1970 Missal. What role do you think an institute like this has in putting a light on that continuity in the liturgy?
Well, I think it's important. I think it's very important to stress that there is continuity and that there is also continuity in the reform. I wish to stress that the work on the reform began very, very early. And that I think the foundation of our institute was part of the, so to speak, the foundations of this huge building. Pope Pius XI founded our institute in 1925. In 1930, the same pope made the first step of the reform, creating the historical section of the Congregation for Rites. And the people working in that historical sections were people who have studied in our institute. So it's all connected, and it's all a long work. And I think it's a long process in perfect continuity. So I think it's important to realize for all Catholics that there is continuity between the liturgy today and the earlier liturgy. It's important to realize that the reform was not a rupture, it was not a break, but there is continuity. And I think it's also important to realize that the ideals of the people working on the reform in the 20th century, their ideal was to recreate, to re-establish the original, the traditional liturgy. They worked for tradition. They want to go back to the traditional, oldest Roman liturgy, which they described as the gold age of liturgy. So that was their ideal. That was what they wanted to realize. And their ideal was to allow modern Catholics to celebrate in the most traditional of all forms of liturgy.
Can you name some of these famous students of this institute that went on to work in the liturgical movement as it was known before the council?
Well, I can mention two names. One of our first students when we opened our classes in 1926 was Franciscan Father Ferdinando Antonelli, who later became a cardinal, who was one of these key persons in the work on the reform. And he also worked together with another man who studied some years later in our institute, who was Annibale Bognini. It's important, though, to know that these men didn't work alone. This was a big process with a lot of people working and in close collaboration with popes. We'll say with popes because they began this work in 1930. The first commission instituted for the reform of Catholic liturgy was created by Pius XI in 1948 with these people, who then continued to work in different commissions and groups and congregations and whatever.
Can you tell us something about the students? You mentioned that most of the people here would be doctoral class students. How many students do study at the Institute? Where do they come from?
Well, I must stress that today our students mostly deal with archaeology and not with liturgy, but we have people working with liturgy too. We have between 50 and 60 PhD students on different levels. They have lessons for 3 years, and then they write their PhD thesis. And they come from many different countries. The biggest group, of course, is Italian, but we have people coming from different Mediterranean countries, from France, from the United States, from, I come from Sweden, I studied here. So we have people coming from almost everywhere, from Japan.
What's the relationship of this institute with other archaeology programs, both in other Catholic universities, for example, and also with the secular universities, especially here in Italy?
It's easy to say that. The students who come to us, they have studied in other universities because they must have their first university degree from another in archaeology from another university. It's possible to study Christian archaeology also in other universities, but we are the most specialized center in the world for this field. So students who really want to continue with work and research in the field of Christian archaeology, they sooner or later they realize that they must come here.
Speaking of early Christian archaeology, of course, we're here in Rome, one of the centers of Christian archaeology, but there are other places around the world where you find the early evidences of early Christianity. How much of your work is centered here in Rome? How much do you study Christian areas in other places in Italy, but also outside of Italy?
Well, it depends. Of course, we teach about the entire early Christian world, the entire Mediterranean world. At the same time, as for research, I must say that we are perhaps concentrated on Rome and Italy mostly, not exclusively, but mostly, because the other important field for Christian archaeology is, of course, the Middle East, the Holy Land. But there we have the Franciscan archaeologist in the Custodia, the custody of the Holy Land, and they take care of that excellently, so they don't need us, so to speak.
Dr. Olaf Brandt is the secretary of the Pontifical Institute for Christian Archaeology. He was speaking there to my colleague Charles Collins.